Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Ukraine was the second largest republic in the Soviet Union after Russia. It was Russia's main trade partner. Ukraine was in many ways the breadbasket of the Soviet Union. After the counter-revolution overthrew the governments in the Soviet Union, in Russia, in Ukraine, Ukraine became independent. And for the last, you know, all the time since 1991, all the time, almost 30 years, the U.S. has been pumping in billions of dollars through the so-called National Endowment for Democracy, other non-governmental organizations. And then in 2013, in the fall of 2013, when the Russian government, I think, was preoccupied with the Sochi Olympics, the Winter Olympics, and there was lots of, you know, international protests coming, and they were worried that the Olympics would be disrupted. These protests began in the middle of Kiev, the capital of Ukraine. It was called Maidan, meaning the Maidan Square protests. And they went on for November and December and January. And then in early February, mid-February, really, a deal was struck between the opposition forces to the Yanukovych government, who were pro-European, pro-EU, pro-NATO, and the Yanukovych government, which was a government that wasn't pro-Russian but sought neutrality between East and West and vowed that Ukraine would never become a part of NATO. They came to a deal with Yanukovych, and the Russians were at the table, and the Germans were at the table, and the French were at the table, and the U.S. was at the table, but as an observer. And there was an agreement that Yanukovych would pull the police out of the center of Kiev, that he would call early elections in Ukraine, meaning allowing the opposition to replace him as the president. He would devolve authority from the center of Ukraine to the regions, which was another demand of the opposition. And he signed that agreement with international observers watching on February 21st, 2014. On February 22nd, 2014, fascist-led militias stormed the parliament, dispersed the parliament, tried to kill the president. He fled for his life, and they created a neo-Nazi regime in Ukraine at that time. The whole eastern part of the country speaks Russian, was historically part of Russia. I mean, in 1625, Kiev was a capital of Russia. I mean, it's always been historically part of Russia, at least the eastern part of Ukraine. They banned the Russian language, and they made it clear that they were going to join NATO. Now, at that moment, the U.S. thought, and by the way, McCain, John McCain, Hillary Clinton spokespersons, you know, they were all in Maidan. They were handing out cookies to the protesters. The U.S. government, both parties, joint operation, all the U.S. media cheering them on, saying this was the greatest day for Ukrainian democracy when the fascists stormed the parliament and dispersed the government. And they thought, okay, we have Russia by the throat. And it was then that Putin said, look, we're going to let the people in Crimea, who are almost all Russian speakers and ethnically Russian, we're going to let them have a referendum about whether under these circumstances they want to re-affix Crimea to Russia. And they had a referendum in June 2014, and 95% of the people voted, yes, we prefer to be with Russia. Crimea had always been part of Russia. It was only given to Ukraine in 1954 by Nikita Khrushchev when Ukraine and Russia were part of the same country, the Soviet Union. And so when Putin did that, the United States accused Russia of seizing Ukraine because that referendum took place in Crimea where the people voted to associate with Russia rather than Ukraine. The other part of that equation that's very important for people who don't know enough about this situation to understand is Crimea was the most important naval base for the Soviet Union. And after the Soviet Union collapsed, after the Soviet Federation or Union broke up, there was an agreement between the Ukrainian, now independent Ukrainian government and the Russian government that the Black Sea Fleet, the Russian Black Sea Naval Base, the largest military installation that Russia has, would remain part of Russia, even though Crimea was technically a part of Ukraine. So when the U.S.-led fascist coup d'etat took place, Vladimir Putin realized that the Russian primary biggest military base, the largest naval base, would now become a NATO base with nuclear missiles pointed at Russia. That was too much. And so then, and only then, did Russia go forward and allow this referendum to take place. And since then, the United States and all of the politicians and the media have labeled Putin to be and Russia to be the aggressor. But that's the actual context. And so Russia now feels that Ukraine, which was the exact, you know, planes through which Hitler invaded the Soviet Union in June 1941, what Putin is saying is, this is a red line for us. We are not going to allow Ukraine, formerly our biggest ally, the second biggest republic in the Soviet Union, to be used by NATO to prepare for an invasion of Russia. That's not going to happen. That's why we are now at the verge of a major power conflict between the U.S. and Russia. And the reason I wanted to give a little bit of this history is that the American people don't know about it. And they just think, because they're told every day that Putin is bad, he's an autocrat, and Russia is an aggressor, when in fact, Putin, and in this case, Russia, are the victim of Western aggression.
All righty, we're back. Okay, commentary, McTernan and Holman.
Well, Pastor Ernie, every word that he said is historically accurate, every word. So what I look at this, I look at Zelensky as a New World Order puppet. He loves Trudeau. I posted all sorts of pictures and him talking about Trudeau. He has been with the, he's been groomed by Soros, and I believe also Klaus Schwab. I'm not sure. But he, and then one of the ministers there in the Ukrainian government just said the other day that we're fighting for the Ukrainian people and for the New World Order. So, and they pushed it, Pastor Ernie. They meaning Zelensky and Biden, they could have easily told Russia, look, we're not going to join the new NATO. We will not have NATO missiles, nuclear missiles on Ukrainian the nation. And that would have, that's what Putin wanted. That's what the Russians wanted. But they refused to. They refused it. Biden refused it. Zelensky refused it. And so Russia, as it's attacked now, it's sort of in a no-win situation, Pastor Ernie, the way the media is. And then the attack by Putin. And these wars are ugly. I think that I don't think he can ever get popular opinion on his side, Pastor Ernie. That's a lost cause. No matter how much truth is out there, I just don't think he's going to be able to win the popular, I can't think of the word, the popularity that you need. He's going to be the villain no matter what.
Okay, he's going to be the villain no matter what. You're right about that. But, first of all, we want to make it very clear that we don't justify bombing civilian areas, bombing civilian apartment buildings and all of what they're doing. They don't have to do that. On the other hand, do we know that all of this was done? We noticed that there was a number of things that as were said that never happened. You know, it was out there in the fake news media. They were talking about that you had these pilots, Ukrainian pilots. It was a legend, some guy, and he was flying over and shooting down Russian jets. That was a fake story. Never happened. They were talking about 13 Ukrainians that were caught somewhere in this island. All of this stuff that's happening, we can only trust our fake news media to lie. That's all they can do. We don't have
the stage was set for this. You have the mistrust of the Russians and the West, and you have Ukraine right there on our border, and so they use this Zelensky he gets in Putin's face, right? He tells him we're going to have nuclear weapons here, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and so that stage was set perfectly, and you know, then Biden and his team of idiots, they poured gasoline on the fire, and actually, you know, I guess in my mind, if you look at it that way, we're kind of we are responsible for what happened there. You know, had they de-escalated, as John said, this would have never happened. But no, they escalated. And, you know, just like we didn't want missiles in Cuba, they didn't want nuclear missiles on their border either.
Okay, now, so let me ask you this.
Set up, and now we're in this, which we hate. We hate what's happening in the Ukraine.
Okay, let me ask you guys this. Do we have
gasoline on it?
Do we have in the industrial military machine out there complex, do we have a number of hawks like Lindsey Graham, like Nasty Pelosi, that have money invested in the military industrial complex that make money off of wars? Do we have who is the head of the sentence? What is that guy's name? He's so boring, I have a tendency to forget his name. Speaker of the Senate.
McConnell.
Yeah. What about, who else was it? A number of these people have huge amounts of money.
Adam Schiff was beating the drums for war.
They're all beating the drums for war. Okay, now, if you can keep a war going over there, what do we have that's coming up? What that we can declare a national emergency or something? What is it that they would like to try to stop? That's coming up here.
The election, Pastor Ernie. This year, the election.
All righty. I'm going to play another clip now. Listen to this, General McGregor. Listen to General McGregor. Okay, go ahead and play and start that other clip.
That right there is a new world order. All right, so here we go. You ready? Trey Gowdy, all right, had McGregor on. Let's go down the rabbit hole here. It was a few days ago. What he said, I want you to listen to it, okay? He said some very important stuff.
A former senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense, thank you for joining us. Why do you think Putin is doing this?
By the way, the videos are crappy because they're being deleted from the internet. Okay, what does that tell you?
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you about how important this stuff is? They're deleting it from the internet. He's saying something truthful, no doubt about it.
What is his end game?
Well, Vladimir Putin is carrying through on something that he's been warning us about at least for the last 15 years, which is that he will not tolerate U.S. forces or their missiles on his borders, much as we would not tolerate Russian troops and missiles in Cuba.
Stop. You ready? It's the first time. You know, I mean, I heard it. No NATO. We're talking about a military general. All right.
Yep.
Of all the stuff that you're hearing, if you went back and listened to Joe Biden's State of the Union address, it mentions nothing. He used the term unprovoked, and it's simply not true. It's just a flat out lie. The war propagandist in chief got up to the podium last night and said that Vladimir Putin's a really bad guy and waged war and had even Steve Scalise and Elise Stefanik waving Ukraine flags about an unprovoked. And they're literally all out there waving a flag that is now one of the most corrupt governments that is run by the freaking Nazis. We literally have, this is like them waving the swastika flag. Okay. Nazis. And they're saying that Russia was unprovoked. It's simply not true. I remember when the Ukraine was overthrown in 2013 and 14. Russia was like, I hope you get settled in there. You better not be bringing your NATO up to my border. He's been saying this ever since then.
Right.
So McGregor comes in. Guess who he works for? Nobody.
Right.
He works for nobody.
And we ignored him, and he finally acted. He was not going to allow Ukraine under any circumstances to join NATO. What's happened now is that the battle in eastern Ukraine is really almost over. all the Ukrainian troops there have been largely surrounded and cut off. You have a concentration down in the southeast of 30 to 40,000 of them. And if they don't surrender within the next 24 hours, I suspect that the Russians will ultimately annihilate them. That's why Zelensky is meeting with Putin's representatives right now. The game is over. And he's going to have to negotiate the best deal he can get. And we've already told him, the President of the United States has, that if he opts for neutrality for Ukraine, we'll back him. And I think that Vladimir Putin will do that for Western Ukraine. That is the Ukraine beyond the Dnieper River. But behind it in the east, where he is now, I'm not sure what he has planned there, whether he forms another republic, annexes it into Russia, because historically it has been Russian. But the territory west of Ukraine is not. He knows that, and he's happy to live with that as a neutral state.
I am not a military expert. I'm not even an expert on geography. But if he takes Ukraine and Ukraine abuts Poland, then he's going to have a NATO country abutting him. So if that's what he doesn't want, then isn't he going to just have to keep going until he runs out of NATO countries?
I guess I should say it again. He has no interest in crossing the west, the Dnieper, and heading west to the Polish border.
Did you hear what he just said? I will say it, and he said again. Okay, I don't say that. That's because I'm enlisted.
Again.
He's a military general. He said he has no interest in going that way. Stop just making crap up like that. Okay? He's been warning about the Ukraine. I listened to his speeches. Okay? Putin said, we made this mistake once before. And Hitler overran us. And we were unprepared. We were not prepared for the onslaught. We lost hundreds of millions of Russians. Mm-hmm. He said, this time around, that ain't going to happen. So for the past 10 years, he's been saying, stop your encroachment upon our borders. The last time that happened, Hitler overran us. We lost hundreds of millions of people. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Stop your NATO stuff. And I'm not Putinizing. I'm saying this is what has been said for years. And he did not strike in 2014, 15, 16, right? Kept coming and coming and coming. Finally, he said, and he's doing bad things. He is. Now he's boxed into a corner. He now has been fully committed to killing hundreds of thousands of people. He is now committed and is not going to stop. But he would, I'm going to say, based on what I heard him say, he would much rather do that than to lose hundreds of millions of Russians.
Yeah, because the talks that this general is talking about here, Pete, happened on Sunday, and Zelensky told Putin to go pound sand.
Yeah, and listen,
and walk away from the negotiation.
We have to talk about this, because if you go on the internet and people are feeding you TikTok videos and people are on Telegram and there's all this war propaganda, you cannot trust anything that is being said. We have to peel the banana back again, all right? Mm-hmm. Go back to what this general said on Trey Gowdy, and then realize what the full impact of it was. Because immediately, Jennifer Griffin from the Pentagon, what you hear what she said, came in and immediately started debunking him. Right away saying, don't listen to him. It's a distortion. You know, Russia, 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 Russia. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Russia, Russia.
I think you're going to find from these negotiations, he's quite willing to neutralize that territory on the Austrian or the Finnish model. Right now, Russia already touches Estonia and part of Latvia. White Russia, of course, touches Lithuania. He's not interested in going to war with us, and he has an army that's too small for that purpose. And he knows it. His economy is smaller than that of South Korea's. So this is not something that he's looking for. We are imputing to him things that he does not want to do in our usual effort to demonize him and his country. We need to remember that Ukraine is forced from the bottom of 158 countries in the world as corrupt. Russia is perhaps three or four places above them. This is not the liberal democracy, the shining example that everyone says it is.
Just stop. Stop. Seriously, you guys, do you understand how? I mean, I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to scream. Mm-hmm. Everybody listen to me and listen to me freaking closely.
You can cut it right there. Okay. Now, when we talk about, you know, what he just said about the corruption, unbelievable. I have right here and this is from the article by Christina Layla. 10% to the big guy. Joe Biden wants $10 billion more to aid in aid for Kiev. Joe Biden is asking for another $10 billion for Kiev. Now, do you remember when Biden was talking about the attorney general there in the Ukraine about dropping charges against his son, Hunter? And remember what he said, John?
Oh, yeah, I remember past Anthony. Yeah.
He said,
old funds.
He said, you're not going to get that, was it $10 billion or a billion?
It was a billion. It was a billion, Pastor.
And I told that son of a B, unless he fired that prosecutor, we had to stop the investigation into Hunter. Because, you know, if they went after Hunter and investigated him. Remember what Hunter said, 10% had to go to the big guy, 10% of everything. So all of the corruption. And I mean, they're the Democratic Communist Party. In other words, here in the United States is completely corrupt. There's nothing that, from top to bottom, there may not be one person in that entire collective that has not been corrupted. It is totally corrupt. And Ukraine, and like you said, Zelensky is a major, major, major part of that corruption, isn't he?
Pastor Ernie, it was Ukraine was nothing more than it was like a corrupt business that the mafia owned to wash money and put bribes in and extort and all. That's what the nation was. So. And it was used by the corrupt American politicians and European politicians and also businessmen here. So they have a vested interest in Ukraine for all the money, all the banking, all of the gas. Hunter's son was on a gas company's board, and he didn't speak one word of Ukrainian, and he knew nothing about gas production. So it's a whole thing from top to bottom was corrupt in Ukraine, being milked by corrupt American politicians.
And so when you talk about, you know, you notice when he mentioned about Ukraine was number four from the bottom, be one of the most corrupt in the entire world. I got to tell you who's probably number one, and that's right here in the United States. I mean, look at that. How could the corruption be any worse than it is? I had to laugh today. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, right? I heard Joe Obama, that's the one who formerly known as Joe Biden. Joe Obama says that his Justice Department, listen to that, Justice Department, is going to go after all of the Russian oligarchs. He said because those Russian oligarchs are corrupt, and they are really the enemies of the people. Now, let's see, what other country has a number of very corrupt oligarchs can you think of?
Well, I could think of the Biden family. I could think of the Bush family. And then I can think of we have Gates, and we have the Clintons, and we have the Obamas, and we have Soros. Off the top of my head, Pastor, and then there's what do you call it? I would say that McConnell fits that with China, and the list goes on and on and on.
Okay, so here, you know, it's just an amazing thing, and that's exactly right. I'm going to be talking about that in my message, because America is a country that's standing in the shadow of an angry God, and God's wrath is being kindled against this nation. The corruption has just gotten, you know, unbelievable. Now, in fact, let me give you an example. I started to read this before, but let me go through it again. Remember how we've been warning and warning and warning and warning, because we have this election coming up. And remember how we warned against, remember, Obama's former attorney general, how he was out there to run in the redistricting scams. That's what they're doing here in Ohio. The rhinos in the Republican Party have let the courts decide. In other words, somebody's getting enough money. The Democrats are coming up there and saying, look, you know, you can't, you know, you only have a one-party system if you know, you can't wipe us out. And so they're spreading the money around. And they're running, and they've done this for years. The Democrats have run people as Republicans. Let me give you an example. Here's what it said. Here's an article by Jim Hoft. Democrats are running committed leftists as Republicans in several states and have been doing so for years. Republicans hold a 24-10 advantage in the Missouri Senate. Republicans hold a 114-48 advantage in the Missouri House of Representatives. Trump won the state by 15 points. Recently, Missouri Republicans announcing they are going to destroy the state by pushing ranked choice voting. Ranked choice voting. This voting scheme, endorsed by Democrats and GOP donors, alleged GOP donors, which are not. These are Democrats pretending to be Republicans, ensures that Democrats win out in all future elections in Missouri. Missouri Republicans are also working on a map that ensures Democrats win 2 seats and possibly 3 seats in future congressional elections. Now, that sounds like, now, if I'd have said that 20 years ago, you'd say, that's crazy. How could that be? But not nowadays, can you?
Yeah. Pastor Ernie, I felt that the Republican Party was not redeemable. And it might be better to start a fresh one than a fresh new party. And I mean, every day, every week, I just by what you're saying. I mean, what are we doing in the Republican Party if they're traitors? I mean, outright traitors. They're working with the... What Republicans work with the Democrats to put the Republican Party out of business?
Well, you remember Lindsey Graham is known for crossing the aisle every now and then when it really counts and handing our opposition a win. Here's another one that we just talked about in Wisconsin, right? In Wisconsin, when the Supreme Court head justice said, look, I want to decertify. I want to decertify the 2020 election. The voter fraud was unbelievable. So here, in Wisconsin, the Republican Speaker, Robin Voss, pushed for ballot drop boxes in the state. Within 48 hours of the release of his election investigation, he threw the investigator under the bus by disregarding his call to decertify the election results and eliminate the WEC. Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader, a Republican, is even worse and completely ignores all the will of the conservative voters. And then here, remember in Wyoming, Liz Cheney, I don't have to say anything other than that. Here in Ohio, the Republican majority of lawmakers kicking redistricting over to a court to decide. Despite holding a huge majority, they punted on one of their major important responsibilities. And has the GOP been infiltrated? Ohio GOP is the latest Republican-led state to kick the can on redistricting. We had it. I mean, they could have had it. We could have had it where you couldn't get another Democrat elected, but they didn't. Somebody's getting paid. Somebody's getting paid. In Arizona, the Attorney General has been sitting on election audit results for months, despite the fact that several election workers were caught on video illegally deleting information from voting machines before they were turned over to the investigators. Somebody's putting big pressure top down, pressure and big money to keep that election from being overturned, decertified. And in Georgia, a report at the Georgia Record revealed that Georgia's corrupt Secretary of State Raffensperger, his sidekick CFO Gabe Sterling, and his Deputy Secretary of State Fuchs were all connected to a firm that groomed Democrats. They use the word Democrats as a firm that groomed Democrats to run as Republicans. So no wonder these individuals did all that they could to prevent President Trump from winning re-election.
Well, Pastor Ernie, if this was isolated to one state, okay. But look at the states that are involved in this. Georgia. I mean, that entire Republican government in Georgia is totally 100% corrupt. Totally.
Yeah, well, same thing in Michigan. The same thing in Michigan and also
Wisconsin, Arizona,
Pennsylvania.
Look at Pennsylvania. The Supreme Court in Pennsylvania just overturned the lower court about election integrity.
Yeah.
So, and then you look at the some of those politicians, which John knows real well, in Pennsylvania. They're all sellouts, Pastor Ernie. All of them. How could that? So, you know, they're sold out. They're sold out also in other states. But it's so obvious in these key states for the election, they're all corrupt, not all, but they have they're in positions of power that their corruption can influence everything. And how did it get to be in seven states? How?
Well, follow the money. Money. Solomon said money answereth all things, doesn't he? And people like, who was it that spent $370 million, $370 million, Mark Zuckerberg, to overthrow the elections? $370 million he spent to overthrow the election. Let's take some calls. The phone lines are all lit, so let's go. And who do we have first? Mac, you're in the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. And this is something, we hear the problem, and I hear it. And I keep calling in, and this is a challenge to America, just like earlier you were challenging Fauci to come on. Well, I'm challenging those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior and who believe all the Bible. Based on the fact that Jesus Christ, it says in Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means when Jesus Christ said to the disciples, well, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we cast them out? Jesus Christ said, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer, by prayer and fasting. So we have basically the devil running everything in our country. But how many Christians out there really care? Every time I call and say this, I hear nobody following up. So maybe there's a lot of talk, you know, but no action. And I'm wondering, my prayer has been when I pray and fast, and I'll put it out there for everybody to join me at the altar. Every Wednesday after my last meal until the following Thursday, whatever, 4 or 5, I'm in prayer and fasting. And it's hard. Sometimes, like Jack Kyle said, the sun comes up gradually. The Nazarenes call it praying through. The Baptists don't call it anything because we never have done any of it. But if you want to see God work, then how about praying all night through and seeing the sun come up on your knees, on your face, calling for God to just take these people out, to come against the Democrats. All of them, Fauci, everyone, just kill them all off so we can get our country back. Because in Luke 18:1-8, the widow is praying for vengeance. If vengeance belongs to God, then why don't we just ask God to blast them out? But until we get serious about praying and fasting, it's not going to happen. Because Jesus said it won't happen by this kind. So, again, I'm wondering, when I finish this call, how many other calls are going to come in and say, you know, that's the point. I've never heard it yet. Maybe it's because they're not getting it, because I'm not hearing it. And I'll stand by to listen, but that's what I'm doing, because that's what the Word of God says if you want to get it done. God bless.
All right. All right, Mac. Thanks for calling. Okay. Do you know what the problem, I think what you don't know is that America has forgotten her God. And the Bible says all nations that forget their God will be turned into hell. Let's go out to San Diego. Jack, you're in the air.
Yeah, well, that was an interesting show tonight. And I always thought that having the Ukraine at neutrality and not joining NATO was a reasonable request, and it was in Russia's national interest. Now, there's a lot of strange things, though, that are going on. And let me tell you about a couple. One is, as you know, we have levied financial sanctions on Russia, including kicking them out of SWIFT so they can't clear any international transactions. And at the same time, the United States, Germany, and several other countries in Europe continue to buy oil and gas from Russia. So how does the United States and Europe pay for the oil and gas without violating the sanctions?
Well,
that's one. Mm-hmm. Another one is, what I find it interesting is all the countries that are giving up their neutrality status, like Switzerland and Sweden and Norway. The only nation state left with neutrality status is the Vatican. So all these other countries that have always stayed out of conflicts, they're all gung-ho now. They're giving weapons to the Ukraine and giving up their neutrality status. The other thing is in a conflict like this, you never take anything off the table. But what's the first thing Biden did was, he said, we're not going to get into this conflict. We're not going to put our soldiers in Ukrainian territory, because as soon as we start shooting at Russian soldiers, it's World War III. So what did Biden do? He conceded the Ukraine to Russia. I think that Putin knows this. I think that Biden is probably being blackmailed. I mean, the Biden family has taken money from Russia. They've taken money from the Ukraine, and they've taken money from China. They're as corrupt as hell. The one thing that disturbs me, and I'd like to know your comment on this, is that Putin has threatened us if we interfere in his special military operation, he's going to use nuclear weapons on us. And I know that from the reports I've heard is that he's locked and loaded. He's at DEFCON 2, but Biden is not. We are not at DEFCON 2 in the United States. We're not prepared to retaliate. And do you think that Putin is serious? Because we are interfering in this military operation just by weaponizing the Ukrainians. And the one thing I haven't seen in a long time, in fact, I've never seen it ever, I've never seen the guy with the nuclear football in the proximity of Biden. I always saw him near Trump. Is General Milley tipping off the Russians like he said he was going to do with the Chinese? Who's in control of the nuclear football with all the launch codes? Is it Milley?
Well, let me just start back by saying, first of all, you can thank Bill and Hillary and Obama and Joe Obama for making sure that Putin had all the uranium that he needed to rebuild up his nuclear force. Because, you know, that uranium, after a while, you have to replace it. And so they sold him one-fourth of our uranium stocks. And they made a pretty good profit off it, both Bill and Hillary and Obama, and they all have made some good money off that. Number two, if Trump was in office, none of this would be happening right now. None of this would be happening. And there would be a lot of focus on this corrupt Russia, all of the corruption that's taking place. Now, when you talked about Milley, well, John, tell them what Milley did when it came to the Red Chinese.
Well, Pastor Ernie, what he did was, it's almost not believable,
But he gave the Red Chinese our information on Russia setting up in the Ukraine, how their army was positioning and all, and he wanted the Red Chinese to intercede and tell the Russians to stop. So the Red Chinese took all the information Milley gave them and gave it to the Russians.
So, I mean, remember before what Milley was doing when Trump was in, the agreement he had with the Red Chinese generals?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if Trump tried to start a war, he would tell them.
And he would, and what else would he would do? He would stop him from being able to fire off nuclear weapons.
Yeah, Mr. Ernie, what did Trump ever do in his entire presidency to even give the slightest inkling of starting a war with China?
Well, here it is. Here's what he did. He did his job. And see, now you don't do that under when the Democrats in control, okay? You don't do that. And here, what you have out there now, you know, Trump understood that strength will keep you out of war. Strength will keep you out of war. Weakness will get you into war. Putin never would have made such a move as he did if Trump was in office. But he knew he could count on Biden. Biden's greed. That there's always a dollar to be made someplace out there. And, again, the military-industrial complex, a good long war would keep the media's focus off of all of the corruption, all of the extreme, extreme corruption aided and abetted by the fake news media out there. Okay? So there you go.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, you got my mind going now here with Milley. Are our officers required to follow orders, or particularly the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that are given to them by the President of the United States?
They are.
Okay. Do you remember the BLM and Antifa were rioting and burning Washington, and they were burning the buildings and churches and cars and all that?
Right. And
President Trump wanted the military to come in, and he wanted them armed.
Yep.
With bayonets. And what did Milley say? No.
Yeah, he disobeyed the president.
He disobeyed.
I gotta take another call. Who do we have next? Linda, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor Ernie. This is Linda from Blaine, Minnesota. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm in the last stages of the Fauci flu.
Dear. Say, I wanted to let you know a couple things. One is that Salem up here is causing interference on your show a lot. I wrote to the web manager, and I'm getting interference right now. And they've been causing a lot of interference, even when you're just talking about simple stuff. Second thing is that up here, I don't know if you're getting it down there, but up here on our regular TV stations, all of a sudden we don't get the hype going about the vaccines. All of a sudden there's a commercial on that they're saying that if you think you're coming down with something, to go and get your COVID-19 test and then start taking your oral medications for COVID-19. Go see your doctor and get oral medications for COVID-19. No more vaccines, but start taking but they don't say what the oral medication for the COVID-19 is. But they're starting, no more vaccine pushing. Now it's for oral medications for the COVID-19.
It's because people are dropping dead. Like I said, the report that just came out. The report that came out,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
For every one person that died from the COVID, 12 now have died from the so-called vaccine.
Right. But I was just shocked to see the fact that they are no longer pushing this COVID vaccine. Now they're talking about oral medications like maybe ivermectin and the other one that I can't pronounce.
Well, that's because
all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's because people are getting awake. They're and people are demanding that that Fauci and Gates and these people be put on trial. And that's now you've got a lot of politicians.
They should have been shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should be taken out and shot. Absolutely, or hung, whatever. Absolutely. And for the gentleman, a couple conversations earlier that said that Christians don't care. For the record, I don't care about what's going on.
Well, that's two of us.
Yep.
You're the one that was saying the fasting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Mac from Pennsylvania.
I would like to add something there, and John knows this too. We had we call it our Isaiah 58 prayer and fasting for many, many years, and there is much, much power, and that is something that's needed, so I can testify about that.
Yeah, I know. We do that up here on a regular basis. Let's go to New Jersey and Julie. Julie, you're in the air.
Yeah, hello, everyone. You know, Pastor, it's amazing. The whole world is in chaos. The whole world over this war, and it's because of two people, Hunter Biden on their payroll and the father, Joe Biden. Why aren't the Republicans out there blaming him? Remember, again, for 4 years, Trump was blamed for everything. If the sun was out, he was blamed and called a racist. So he's so compromised, blackmail, like one of your callers said before. I believe that. But two people, Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, are causing all this crisis. And we're all suffering because of those two people. I hope that the Republicans, if they get the House back, they'll investigate the collusion with Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and Russia, Iran, you know. And can I say another thing, please?
Sure.
For years, we don't understand why Republicans have taken the racist label from the Democrats. We've never seen, and 30 years we're talking, we've never seen any Republican call them racist. They sit there and take it all these years, and the public believes that. Not one person has ever said, you're the racist. Shame them. Republicans don't fight effectively.
Well, we do have a whole lot of I've had enough, I'm fed up, that are looking to run. I mean, here in Ohio, we have all kinds of people that want to run for Congress, okay? But they're not, unfortunately, they're not doing it too smart, because those that want to run in the primary and oust a rhino here, they have to, what they're going to do is they're going to split the vote in the primary, and it's going to go to the rhino instead of sitting down and saying, look, both of us can't. One of us has got to support the other one, or one of us got to run for another office. But we got to get rid of the rhinos. The rhinos are like an affection in a party. And so, anyhow, that's one of your biggest problems. I got time for one quick call, and then Deborah, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm just agreeing with Max. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And, of course, there's action needed, but I think it starts with the spiritual realm, so I'm just agreeing with him.
Well, Deborah, you know, I agree with God. And God says there's power in prayer. Now, see, if God says it, can we trust it?
Yeah.
If the Apostle Paul says pray continuously, and if the Lord Jesus tells you, then we can really say, look, you know, these guys knew what they were talking about, right?
That's right.
And this is what we've been preaching here for 50 years, and we know it's a fact because we practice that here all the time. We do a lot of praying here, and
amen.
And because if God said it, I believe it, and that's the end of it. So, but I'm out of time for tonight. So, okay, who was the one that gave the invitation last time? Was it John or was it John?
It was me, Pastor Ernie. So,
should we'll let Holman go for it? Okay, John Holman, you've got 3 minutes.
All right. So, folks, if you're listening and you are not committed, saved by the blood of the Lamb and headed for heaven, then everything that we said tonight about the signs of the times, which we're living in, last days, you can see them happening all around you. You can see the prophetic word of God being fulfilled in these last days. Now, we talked about no man knows the hour when the Lord's coming, and no man knows when their last breath is here. So all that said, what you need to know is that you can have peace that passes all understanding, which people sorely need, we know that in these days, by repenting of your sins, and that is turning away from doing those things that break God's moral law and offend him. Repenting, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, and giving yourself up as a living sacrifice to do those things which he has prepared for you to do from the foundation of the world. And folks, when you do that, when you do all those things that are necessary and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have the greatest day of your life, knowing that you're going to have eternal life, that you're going to avoid hell, and that you will spend eternity with the Lord and all of the saints in heaven, and which is so wonderful that can't even be spoken about here on this earth. So everything that we had to say to the audience tonight, if you're unsaved, it's unsettling. To those that are saved, we know what the end is. We know where we're going to be. We're going to be with the Lord, and soon, very soon, we're going to hear those words, come up hither. And then the crazy people that are running this half-baked planet, they can have it, because we're going to be out of here, and then we're going to come back with the Lord of glory. So, folks, take those words, commit your life to Christ, and you will be happy evermore.
That's true. Every word of it. And so I want to remind the folks again, people asking about the church service. It's Sunday at 9 a.m. with prayer and worship, 9:30, Bible study in depth, 11:15, the morning service. Usually at 5 p.m. we have a film on current events class, and then 6 p.m., the regular service. And the address again is 14781 Sperry Road. It's 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio. And the phone number is 440-338-1396. Okay. And we're out of time, right? So until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless. And always, always, let's do it, fellas. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.